And let me add my welcome. My name's Tim. I'm the assistant pastor here. And we're going to get our Bibles open now. Kids, everything you need will be on the screen. And today we're in Luke's Gospel, chapter 17. So that's Luke 17, starting at verse 11. So kids, you ready? Up on the screen? Here we go. Now, and this is talk about Jesus, okay? Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When Jesus saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he had been healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." This is God's word to us this morning. Now, just as we get there, should we pray and ask God for his help? Should we put our hands together and close our eyes so we can concentrate? And let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for the many gifts you give us. Thank you that your word, the Bible, is a gift to us. And we pray that you'd help us now to listen really well to the great truths you want to teach us. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, everyone sit up nice and tall. I'm sure we have straight backs. Fantastic. It's been a while since I've had to do this in this setting. Now, who likes receiving presents? Hand up if you like receiving presents. Just the kids, is it? Yeah? I like receiving presents. Now, actually, some of you have already received a present this morning, haven't you? Hands up if you've received. Yeah, fantastic, because you've had a birthday this month. And there's been lots of birthdays this month, I could tell you. Hands up if it's been your birthday this month. Any special birthdays at all? I'll tell you, someone I work with was 40 yesterday. Can you imagine being 40? Wow, goodness me. Now, don't worry. If your birthday's not coming up very soon, then it's not too long. It's only 10 weeks or 10 more Sundays before Christmas. And I've got some more Christmas socks on today. I only have 2 pairs, so actually I'm... Ooh, can't come in.
Tim.
Hey, Glenn.
I have a present for you.
Ah, oh, I told you I love presents. Oh, what do you think it is? You can go. Bye. What do you think it is? Any guesses? Any guesses? What do you think it is? A what? Chocolate. Oh, I hope it's chocolate because I love chocolate. What do you think it is, Jesse? Rice Krispies. Sounds. Could be a DVD. Let's have a look. It's dried what? Oh no, it's not that. Nathan. You were right. Chocolate. I absolutely love chocolate. Oh, I'm looking forward to eating those later. Oh, that was brilliant.
Tim, I've got you a present.
Another one. Look at this. This is bigger than the last one. What do you think? Do you think it's going to be more chocolate? Should we say it? Could be a DVD? No, a bit big for DVD. Any guesses? What do you think this is going to be? Go on, Bernie. Something fizzy. Oh, I hope it's fizzy. Go on then. Socks. Well, if it is something fizzy, I've just kind of ruined that. I won't open that for a while. Let's have a look. You can go. Thank you. Go. Oh, what do you think it's going to be? Oh. Oh, the only thing better than chocolate. It's a nice cuddly teddy bear. Oh, it's fantastic. Got chocolate to eat, and I've got a nice teddy to cuddle later. Oh, I can't wait. Oh, that's fantastic. Oh, let's just move this out of the way. Oh, the only thing I can't get out of my head is why they looked a bit sad, didn't they, Glenn and Nathan? Why do you think they were so sad? Can you scratch your heads for me? Let's have a little think. I really don't get it. I mean, they should be happy, shouldn't they? I got some amazing presents. Why do you think they're sad? You're absolutely right. I took them, didn't I? And I didn't say thank you. I'm so sorry. Where's Nathan gone? I can see Glenn. Oh, you're right there. I'm sorry. Thank you. Thank you for those presents. That's really kind of you. And actually, do you know what I've just done to Glenn and to Nathan? I'm out of breath now. Too much excitement. What I've just done to Glenn and Nathan is a little bit like what we do to God sometimes. We can take all the good gifts that God gives us and then forget to say thank you to him. Already this morning, we've considered, haven't we? We've considered all the wonderful things God gives us, all the food he gives. And there's plenty of things God gives us. And actually, even when we do say thank you, often our thank yous don't go far enough, do they? We can say thank you to Tesco's for all the juicy fruit they give, or in perhaps in Glenn's case or Courtney's case, all the mountains of chocolate they buy. Yeah? Actually, as Nathan was talking about earlier, actually God's the one who makes all of these things grow. God's the one who brings the rain, like we've had it this morning. God's the one who makes the sun shine. God's the one who makes the plants grow. God is the one who cares for all creation and makes things happen because he is the one who made it. Even with our bodies, we can be quick to forget to say thank you for all the health, the good health that we can have. And actually, as soon as we get a cold, we can kind of moan and say, God, why have I got this? But forget to say thank you for all the good things you give us. It's a little bit like my Eleanor, or like most toddlers, when they receive a present or a gift, they kind of snatch it, they grab it, and they run away, and they kind of say, mine, my present. Yeah, some of you are like, yeah, I'd still do that. But it's true, isn't it? We could take gifts and be so kind of consumed by the gift and forget the giver. And naturally, that is what we are all like. We're all naturally present grabbers, not praise givers. We so often forget to say thank you. And this morning, Luke has recorded for us that story that I read to help us to see two things. Firstly, that Jesus is the present giver. He's the one who gives us all the things that we need. And secondly, he records for us what our response should be to him as the great giver. So first of all, we're going to see, let me get this up, Jesus is the present giver. And I've got some actions for this, okay? They're not very complicated, hopefully, because I'm not very complicated. So Jesus is the present giver, okay? You can... Depends how big you want your present. You could go really big or really small. It's up to you. But that's the actions. Should we try that all together? Ready? One, two, three. Jesus is the present giver. Okay, one more time just so I know you've got it. Okay, ready? One, two, three. Jesus is the present giver. Fantastic. Well, let's dive into the story and see what present Jesus has given in the story. Now, Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. And can anyone remember what happened? Who came and met Jesus? Who came and met Jesus? Do you know? Do you want to have a go? No? Nathan, do you want to have a go? You're very keen this one in. Pardon? It wasn't God. I'll show you, okay? His picture. This, he met, go on, do you want to say it? 10 people with leprosy. 10 lepers. And this is probably what they look like. Okay, we're not sure. No, I'm joking. The 10 lepers, okay? And Jesus met these men on his way to Jerusalem. Now, they had leprosy. It meant they had a skin condition. It meant they had spots and sores all over their body. And we're told they had to keep their distance from Jesus. They couldn't come near to people. Because they had leprosy, they couldn't go into the town. They couldn't go and play in the park with their friends. They couldn't even go and spend time with their families. They had to keep a distance away from people. Now, to help us think a little bit about this, imagine you're playing in the garden. Perhaps, boys, you're playing some football, scoring some goals, you're diving, and you're getting covered in mud, okay? And this happened to me. This is me as a six-year-old. You can imagine. So you're running around the garden, you're getting covered in mud. And then it gets to that point when you can no longer see the ball. You can't even see who you're playing with anymore. And then you think, oh, do you know what? I'm going to go back into the house. So you start walking into the house, get to the back door, open the door. Just as you're about to step, you hear a really loud voice. Don't come in! Stop! Do not enter! Why can't I come into the house? Why can I not come into the house? I'm all muddy, I'm all dirty, I'm unclean. And my mum's not going to be impressed if I walk in and make her house all dirty. True story, this has happened. Might not be in a real picture, but it happens. And actually, that's what these 10 men with leprosy was like. They couldn't come near. They had to keep a distance from people. And this is more than a picture, okay? So this shows their helplessness. They couldn't do anything to change their circumstance. But this is a picture, actually, of what's going on inside each and every one of us in his hearts, of our spiritual uncleanness, of our dirty hearts. So just as these men were dirty and unclean on the outside, actually the Bible says that we have dirty hearts, that they're unclean. And they're unclean because of sin. For all the times when we've grabbed presents and haven't said thank you to God. For all the times we've ignored God and gone on our own ways and enjoyed the presence more. Because of our uncleanness and our dirty hearts, we have to keep a distance away from Jesus, who is totally perfect and holy. We're unable to approach him. So what do these 10 lepers need? Or what do we all need? They need a miracle, don't they? They need a present. And what have we learned so far? Ready? 1, 2, 3. Jesus is the present giver. And so as they're away from Jesus, as they're at a distance, what do they do? Well, they shout in a loud voice, okay? Who's got a loud voice here? I know a few people who haven't got their hand up. Yeah, right, get your hands ready like this, okay? And you can copy after me, because this is what they shouted. Okay, I'll go first, and then you can shout. Let's see who's louder. And I've got a microphone, so I might win. Here we go. Jesus, Master, have pity on us. Very good, it's turning into a holiday club very quickly. That's what they shouted. They said, look, Jesus, we're totally helpless. We need you to have mercy on us. You need to help us because we can't help ourselves. You are the present giver, Jesus. Please help us. Now listen, as the story unfolds, what does Jesus do? Well, he looks at them. It says he saw them. He didn't come nearer, although he could have done. He saw them and he just says, go, show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. They were healed. They could take these bandages off. They no longer needed them. Isn't that amazing? That just the words of Jesus, go, these 10 lepers who had had to keep their distance, had to stay away from people, were healed. They could go into the towns. They could go into the park and play with their friends. They could go home. They could give their family a hug. Jesus' words are powerful. Jesus is the great present giver. He gives them their lives back. And again, as we kind of step back from this story and as we look on, this is a picture for all of us. You see, what do we need to do because of our dirty hearts or because of our sinfulness? Well, we need to be those who, you could do it one more time with, you need to get your loud voices on, and what do you need to say? You need to say, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. We need Jesus to do something. We need Jesus to give us a present. Now, question, okay, ready? Where is Jesus going to? Who can remember? Who was listening really well? Where is Jesus going to? He's going to Jerusalem. Now, why is Jesus going to Jerusalem? Why is Jesus going to Jerusalem? Do I have a gun? He did go to teach people, you're absolutely right, but he went to go and do something. Jesus was going to Jerusalem to die on the cross. He's heading there to die in the place of all those who would trust in him as the great present giver. Jesus went to the cross to die for all my uncleanness, for my dirty heart, for the times where I've grabbed his presence and then walked off and haven't said thank you. And this is the greatest present Jesus has given. He gives us so many good things that we need, but this is the biggest of them all. Jesus went to Jerusalem. He went to the cross to give us the gift of life, to take our place. We deserve to be far away from God. We deserve to be at a distance from him because of our sin. But Jesus went to the cross so that he could take that punishment away and give us new life. This is the greatest present Jesus gives. Now, it's even cooler than that, okay? Because, what was it he told the 10 lepers? He says, go, show yourself to the priests. Now, when Jesus, he healed another man with leprosy back in chapter 5 of Luke. And when he healed that man, he said, go show yourself to the priests and offer sacrifices according to Moses. But he doesn't say that here. Here he just says, go show yourselves to the priests. And I think the point is, he's saying, look, I'm the sacrifice you need. I'm the one that's going to sacrifice myself in your place. What a great gift this is. What a great gift that Jesus gives to all who would trust him. Okay, right. What have we learned so far then? Ready? 1, 2, 3. Jesus is the present giver. Fantastic. And this is a wonderful truth that we all need to know. But the story doesn't end there. In fact, Luke has far more things to teach us. You see, this story doesn't only tell us that Jesus is the present giver. It tells us how we should respond to Jesus. So everyone sit up, nice and tall. If you've gone slouchy, just poke the person next to you, make sure they're still with us. Just gently, don't do it too hard. Now, again, if the story ended here, we'd be like, great, Jesus is brilliant. He gives us presence that we need. But how should we respond to him? Well, let's put it on the screen first. This is how we should respond, okay? So, Jesus is the present giver. So, be a praise giver, okay? Praise giver. Right, let's practice just the so be a praise giver first, and then we'll try it all together. All right, ready? So, be a praise giver. Good, right, let's try it all together, see how much we've learned so far. Ready, 1, 2, 3. Jesus is the present giver, so be a praise giver. Fantastic. You see, 10 lepers, 10 lepers were healed. But how many came back to Jesus? How many came back to Jesus? One. 10 are healed, one came back to Jesus. Here he is. Which means 10%, that's not very much, is it? You wouldn't want to get that on exam at school, would you? 10% of one out of 10 came back to Jesus, which means 9 men were healed and went on their way. 9 men took this present of Jesus and then just went back on their way, back to life as they knew it before, which would have been amazing. But they've taken this gift without a second thought to Jesus, who'd given it to them. Now, I don't know if this has ever happened to you, okay? So perhaps you're at school and you're holding the door for someone Have you ever done this? You might be at the front of the line in your class and you hold the door and everyone's coming through. Now, when they come through, what do you expect them to say? You can say, yeah, thank you. And actually, you're holding the door and they come through. And sometimes you might look and they might even give you eye contact and they're walking through and you're thinking, am I invisible? Am I just a doorstop? Come on, say thank you. It's not a hard thing to say in many ways. Perhaps you've made something for someone, like a card or a little gift, and you've given it to someone. But perhaps they've taken it and they haven't really treated it with respect, or they've just kind of put it to the side and haven't looked after it. I mean, how do those two things make you feel? If you hold the door for someone, they don't say thank you, or if you make something for someone and they don't say thank you, how does it make you feel? Yeah, sad. Maybe even a bit cross. You think, I've gone to all that effort, and you've taken it for granted. Well, do you know, Jesus felt a similar way. And adults, if you're following the Bible, in verse 17, Jesus says three questions. Listen to what he says. He says, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return except this foreigner? Now, to be clear, Jesus isn't being rude when he calls him a foreigner, but it's clear from the text that he was a Samaritan, and Samaritans and Jews, they didn't get on particularly well, they didn't hang out together in the playground. And so out of all the 10, you would expect to come back to say thank you to Jesus. He would have been the one you thought, no, he won't come back. The other 9 will, but this one won't. And yet in our story, he's the only one that comes back. And I guess this points to us, doesn't it? What should our response to Jesus be? What should our response to Jesus, the present giver, be? Well, it should be to praise him, shouldn't it? And as this one man comes back, what is it that he does? Well, you know, he sees that he's healed. And let's get some actions going. He sees he's healed, and then he runs back to Jesus. So let's stamp our feet a little bit. He's running back to Jesus, okay? And stop. And then more than that, he praises him. So we go, la. He praises him. Probably didn't praise him like that. He probably just said, thank you, but you get the point. And then with his hands, he doesn't say it, but you could imagine him just grabbing at the feet of Jesus and saying, thank you, Jesus. I was dirty. I was unclean, but you've made me clean. Where before he had to stay far away, now he can come close. And here Luke records this story for us to show what our response should be to the great present giver. So should we say this together? Ready? 1, 2, 3. Jesus is the present giver, so be a praise giver. We should come to Jesus and praise him for his great gift, that he would freely offer his perfect life for a sinner like me. And Jesus has always been the great present giver from the beginning of creation when he made the world. And we were always created to praise him. That's what we were designed to do. And so, although I've said lots about not grabbing presents, in many ways it's right to grab the presents that Jesus gives because they are what we need. But don't grab them and then walk off. Grab the presents Jesus gives and then praise him. Grabbing and trying to enjoy just the presence that Jesus gives without him will only lead to disappointment. It won't satisfy. Only as we grab the gifts and come back to him is what will make us happy for all eternity. And so this story teaches us that our response to Jesus matters. We can't sit on the fence. You can't not choose either or. We either take his gifts and go, or we take his gifts and come back to him. You see, these 9 men here who left, they were more excited about the present. No, they were more excited about the present rather than who was giving it to them. Whereas the one man who returns to Jesus, he was far more excited about the giver rather than the present. Which are you? Which are you this morning? Are you more excited about the presents Jesus gives, which are great? Or are you more excited about Jesus who gives us these great gifts? Listen to Jesus' response to the man as he comes back. He says, "Rise and go, your faith has made you well." And it literally means, rise, go, your faith has saved you. Now, to be clear, isn't praising Jesus that saves you, but it is an outward showing of whether you're someone who's truly received the gift or not. A true follower of Jesus will be full of praise. Should we say this together? What have we been learning? Ready? 1, 2, 3. Jesus is the present giver, so be a praise giver. But how are we to do this? Well, three simple ways that I think this story shows us. Firstly, do you remember when we stamped our feet? Could we do the stamp of feet? So this man, where does he go? He comes back to Jesus. Where will your feet take you this week? Now, some of you can't determine that if you're not driving a car, but you can. Where are you going to try and go this week? Is it going to be to the places where you can hear more about Jesus, the great present giver, or is it going to be somewhere else? Are you going to be like this man who returns to the feet of Jesus? Secondly, hands. Do you want to give me a nice big clap just to make sure you're still with me? Fantastic. Now, this man came back, and again, it doesn't say that he grabbed Jesus' feet, but you can imagine him doing it. Are we going to be those who grab Jesus today more than the gifts? And lastly, which I think this story talks lots and lots about, is how are we going to use our mouths this week? What will you speak about? What will you sing about this week? Will it be about Jesus, the great present giver? You see, in our harvest service today, we've been saying thank you to God for his kindness, for all the good things he's given us, all the food, the drink, the clothes we have. And today, the big question is, will we recognize Jesus as the present giver of those gifts? Will we be those that come back to Jesus and praise him for being the great present giver? Should we say these words one last time? And you're done. Well done. You listened really, really well. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Jesus is the present giver, so be a praise giver. Should we pray? Should we put hands together? And let's pray together, shall we? Heavenly Father, we thank you for our Lord Jesus. We thank you for the great gifts that he gives. We thank you that he was willing to give himself at the cross to die for sinners like me. Father, please may we leave here today not just grabbing the good gifts that you give, but by praising you too, by recognizing that all that you've given us is from you. Help us to grab you more than the presents. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.